Brad is on the line. Hello, Brad. Are you there?
How are you, Ryan?
I'm doing fabulous. I thought for a second you weren't there. You're a little bit slow in responding. You didn't go and get a hold on me, did you?
No way. It's probably, since I'm getting younger every day, I'm probably looking at things with awe. Everything is new.
That's fresh. That's really fresh. So, I got part 7, and it seems like there's an issue with being a spokesman for God. Awesome responsibility is the way you describe it.
I'm saying it's an awesome responsibility to decide to be a spokesman for God, particularly if God has got something else to say.
I'm glad you said it that way, because I was not sure I understood exactly what that message meant to you. Maybe you can expand. You really emphasize the word decide. Why does the decision have anything to do with that? What do you mean?
That's my modified remark today.
Okay, so that modification is kind of critical. It's not really expressed in your story. I get it now. I wasn't sure why you told that story, but I'm pretty clear now that to what you are saying is that when you make a decision to be a spokesman for God, you're in essence cutting him out from speaking through you.
Ooh, that's eloquent as always, Mr. Publisher. Very well said.
Have I captured your story correctly then?
That's it. I think we can end the podcast and burn that article and we'll start all over again.
Well, I don't think so, because there's more to talk to. No, I've got a few more questions about your story. There's some very interesting parts of it, and I'd like you to expand a little bit on them. Is that all right? We don't have to burn it right now, do we? Can we decide to burn it after we talk about these things?
Okay.
Because in the story you describe a mighty wave of spirit presence and power flowing through several students one at a time. And I'm kind of curious, how did you arrive at that knowledge or understanding or however, whatever word you want to use, that there was a wave of spirit presence within those people as they were speaking? What led you to that conclusion?
Well, wow, that's an interesting question. To me, I didn't know what was going on at the time, frankly. I was just so amazed by hearing his voice. I literally thought it was an audible voice. I'm walking up to a microphone to begin speaking to a group of kids, something that I really had worked over and talked about, and I don't even remember thought about, and I don't even remember what it was, but, you know, and here I'm hearing in my head, it's an awesome responsibility to decide to be a spokesman for God. Just about the time I'm reaching the microphone, scared the heck out of me.
So can I take it from that you had already prepared a speech to give to these young people?
You can. I decided to speak to a bunch of young people from other Christian high schools around the area. I had the honor of being invited to speak.
And so what were you planning to talk to them about that night? Do you remember?
No, I don't recall.
Probably not important. I still haven't heard how you answered my question. A mighty wave of spirit presence and power flowing through several students. What made you aware of that? How were you aware of that spirit presence?
Well, how are you aware when the presence of spirit is with you and I in a conversation?
I usually associate some form of disconnect with that, where I'm not thinking about what I'm saying.
Bingo.
Okay. And so how could you tell that was happening in the students?
Oh, wow. It was a beautiful time. You know, first, number one, it was like I had a restraining hand telling me not to speak, you know.
Sure.
Who ever heard of such a thing?
Well, I've heard of such a thing. I believe that I get told to bite my tongue a lot.
Yeah, okay.
Especially when you're talking.
Before you can have the opportunity to delete out some expletive, you mean, that came flowing out of my mouth?
No. I'm just curious as to how you interpret a presence of the Spirit when somebody's speaking. Because a lot of times when you and I are having conversations about something, you go, bingo, that sings. And so there's something that triggers inside of you that suggests to you that that's from spirit as opposed to from intellect. know, maybe if you share that with some people, then maybe they'll have an opportunity to identify that in themselves too, because I believe that all people have that awareness of when it's spirit speaking instead of intellect. And when spirit speaks, people are more open to the message than they are when intellect speaks. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, you're saying it quite well with your intellect.
So for me, when something sings, and I'm going to use your auditory style language, I get a feeling inside of calm, of a release of tension, and that feeling can kind of come on me like a wave. It makes me pay attention to what that person's saying more than I normally would, rather than think about what my response is going to be. Because typically I'm all trapped up in my head, and although I'm half listening to you, and I'm also thinking about my response. Well, that mechanism stops when you say something that, and I'm going to use your words again, sings. So what about for you? What is it when somebody's talking triggers that mechanism in you to say, yeah, that's God talking through them? Because I think our listeners need to be able to identify that in themselves too, so they can filter us appropriately too.
At the moment, I can't answer it. I know at the time.
Okay, so there's probably some form of model that you run through in your head that you recognize and you're so used to that you can't even articulate it anymore because it's happened to you so many times. But it's there, and I have a feeling it'll come out over our conversation. Why don't I just move on to the next point and wait for it to come out? Educator, the principal, he said, you still owe us a talk since we never did get your message. I read that and I went, well, isn't that the way of somebody, like a preacher, pastor, teacher, priest, evangelist, whatever you want to call them, to want to talk to somebody rather than to have a dialogue? And I think it's important to bring this point up because that's what we want with the people who are listening to us. We want a dialogue. That doesn't mean pick up the phone and call me, but comment. Give us your feedback. Because a true dialogue is where inspiration is born and new ideas come up. Would you agree?
Ooh, that's well stated. I'm sitting here chuckling to myself because I remember when I was a panel of speakers in a seminar once, somewhere down in here I am in the south, in the southern part of the U.S., Dothan, Alabama. I was there, and I said, I can still remember saying, well, rather than trying to give answers to questions that aren't even being asked, why don't you ask me what I've got on my mind? Or, some dumb thing like that. Well, it started, and all of a sudden, that's all I'm doing is answering questions for about 45 minutes. Somebody came up to me afterwards and said, boy, you were the most interesting speaker of all the panel. I said, how do you figure that? I don't know. It's so interesting. Well, I reflected back on everything, and all I was doing every time somebody asked me, I'd ask them more. I'd keep them talking. It was just, I didn't know what to say. And here I am, the most interesting speaker of the panel. So.
Well, I guess because you had the most interesting dialogue.
Okay, here it is. One thing I do know, here is my process. I ask, how should I respond to that? Ask that. And a lot of times I hear, just listen. So I just say, well, I'm just supposed to listen. Go ahead. that's probably what happened at that assembly that day, although that was my really first experience of hearing in my head, don't step over the boundary. Don't you decide to be a spokesman for me. I'm not asking you to be a spokesman for me. And here's this young girl being bathed in light, as it looked to me at least, and it was like spotlights focused on her. And from there on, it just went one after the other after the other. I think that it was later, and I know that's what I said in the article, but it was later that I came to realize that, wow, that was not just a spirit, you know, and what else would it be for me?
Well, in the very next paragraph, you say that a group of kids that were so clearly allowing God to speak through them. I've got a note here again. How do you know God was speaking through them? Like, what gave you that signal?
It was overpowering to me.
Overpowering. So there's a feeling associated with being overpowered, right?
Yeah, that's very good. Yeah, it was. There was a feeling. In fact, I distinctly remember it now that you're digging around. It was just like, I was excited. You know, at first I was a little bit, I wouldn't say upset, but I really knew that I had a powerful message to deliver. You know, I worked on it and prayed over it and, you know, typical stuff, and here what needed to get delivered got delivered. And you should. Another thing with the kids. The kids themselves were so caught up in the moment of saying, well, you know, I can still remember when kids said, oh, wow, I never thought of it that way before in responding to somebody else, you know. And when I say, well, you have anyone else have something to share? And they get to, yeah, that was so good. I that really helps me. You know, those kinds of comments.
Sure.
For 40 minutes. It was wonderful.
Well, thanks.
Sorry, I'm not being more articulate. I don't know how to say it.
Well, I think somebody's going to pick up on what you mean, because they probably feel the same way. But they're not sure, that they just get some sort of feeling that comes over them, and they're not exactly sure what it means, but it gives them, they're peaceful and content. And maybe I'm just more clear on the mechanisms in me that say, yes, this is right. Only because I don't take it for granted. It doesn't happen that often. I want to move on, and one of the words that I see come up frequently in your article here today is process. In the process, we'll be able to see, or in the process, we'll be able to become aware. It twigged on me when I was reading that the name of this series for you is Reversing the Process of Aging. In other words, you're referring to aging as a process. It's something that you do, you're physically active in doing. And I wonder if that's correct. You know, do people age because they do something, or do people age because they don't do something? And is not doing something a process?
Well, look, if we take what we said and came up with a couple, three podcasts ago, I think it was you that actually coined the term that aging was a degenerative, progressive disease.
Sure.
And In medical parlance, I guess you'd have to say it was not doing something. It's not taking care of what we know we can do. What we know is that we've been conditioned in our thinking about it. We've realized we've been conditioned that this is the way it is. It's the way it's got to be. You've got to age. And people come up with all kinds of doctrinal statements to say, well, that's how God designed it. You know?
Right.
And you and I have come to the place and say, wait a minute, baloney. And the only reason we can come to that is because we've seen how to overcome disease myriad ways without denigrating any one of them. I don't care if it's some treatment that a chiropractor has developed, or a MD has developed, or somebody who's on the nutritional therapy, or getting rid of spiritual causes, or
if it works, it works.
Yeah, if it works, it works.
Right. So the process, then, what is that process of aging? Do you remember the first time your parents told you that, oh, well, poor Fluffy died, and everything dies, and they prepare your heart, your mechanism, your intellect, everything about you, they prepare you for death, that for the first time you encounter it as a young child. Then you get indoctrinated through media by seeing advertising about people getting old and getting backaches and getting poor eyesight, and then you watch your parents and loved ones and grandparents go through that process. And so that is the process. It's an indoctrination, isn't it?
You know, I'm firmly fixed on that since it dawned on us, however long ago, it hasn't been that long ago that it dawned on us, that we've just been conditioned, we've been lied to.
From a very young age. Yeah. Innocently so. I mean, don't get me wrong, I certainly don't want to fix any blame here on anybody, most of all my parents, for teaching me that dying's okay. They would also have me believe that arthritis is normal in our family as well, but I don't have arthritis.
Oh, boy. Met with somebody today. I remember the first time I met her and her husband, she had said she had diabetes. And I said, well, there's going to come a time and a place when you realize that you need to stop saying I have diabetes and stop owning it. Well, today she was saying that her own doctor now has said, you don't have diabetes. And it was like, it was in the middle of something else, it was an off-the-wall statement, so I didn't pursue it. And, you know, that's just one of the things. We give voice, my diabetes, or my asthma, you know, that's a good one, my whatever, and we buy into the lie.
Yeah.
And that's all it is a lie. You know, we've gone through so many of these things and been, have, I want to use the term, been explanatory about it so that people kind of get it when we're going through it. And then we, you know, subsequent podcasts, like right now, we just throw out these terms and it's a lie without really helping anybody define what we mean. Because I'm not sure we know what we mean other than the fact that it's a lie. It's not true. But as long as you keep saying it, you're giving it permission to hang around.
Right.
Does that make sense?
It does make sense, and I agree with you. And owning the disease really just means that you've adopted it permanently. You make it part of your identity, there's not any room for removal. Just like you can't change the color of your skin, or whether you have black hair or white hair, you can dye it, but underneath, of course, you've got the color of hair that you've got, according to whatever it is how you see yourself. And that includes sickness and disease, too. Paul here, you're quoting Paul. Wow. And I know he's not necessarily your best friend. Speaking with mind and spirit, and I don't think we need to digress into a discussion about tongues, but I think what you're saying about mind and spirit is key to reversing the aging process. You can't just verbally adopt it without also spiritually adopting it as well. And I'm wondering, can we talk a little bit of how to adopt a principle spiritually rather than just intellectually? Because Paul here has adopted speaking in tongues mentally and spiritually. How can we help people also just move on from that, oh yeah, well, okay, you don't have to die, that shrug of the shoulders, yeah, sure, God can make you live forever, as a intellectual concept, how do they move it into the spirit realm? How do they...
You're triggering what you just said. It triggered a response in me about something, and I can remember a fellow a long time ago saying, well, if God wants me to speak in tongues, He'll have me speak in tongues. If you want to, you know, he was a Bible thumper too. And what was an amazing thing to me is here. Well, why are we getting off on this? But if God wants me to have faith, He'll give me faith. No, it didn't quite work that way. You know, I don't know where I want to go. Why don't you argue with me today? I wish you were arguing with me. We have a little bit more of a delightful time together and fun together when you argue. You're just sitting around blasé and agreeing with anything I say. What's wrong with you today, Mr. Publisher?
Well, I'm going to edit that comment out for sure. I'm agreeing with what you're saying because I can't argue, and I think it's essential to success is to not just do something in your mind, but also to know it in your spirit as well. We talk about that knowing, just like we were talking earlier in our conversation about those young people who were speaking and a mighty wave of the Spirit presence, and you knew the Spirit, the presence of God was speaking through them, because it's something inside of you that there's a match, it links. And so my question is, how do we make that link? how do we help people make that link so that that match is there for them with reversing the process of aging?
By knocking on the door, you know. Jesus' metaphor was that we have a good friend in our spirit parent, and that we can go any time of day or night and knock on the door, but we have to do it with impudence. And so my own personal, you know, my Brad Cullen approach to that is to figuratively or literally start knocking and say, look, I want an answer to this. I want to know. You told me I would have your wisdom. All I had to do is ask and demand, actually is the term in the original, demand and keep demanding until I have a breakthrough. I want a breakthrough. I want to know what it is that links me up with you right now. Is that what you're talking about?
That's exactly what I'm talking about. So what you're telling our listeners and our audience to do, if they don't have that same system or belief that Paul does, that he speaks in spirit and to God, then the best way to get that is to keep pounding until you get through, until you break through, until you know that you know that you know that you know.
Yeah, exactly. And we were talking, I think I just made reference to the fact that I've had people tell me, well, If God wants to give me faith, He'll just give it to me. And it doesn't work that way. I mean, for me, I latched onto His promise that said I could go to Him and knock on the door and keep knocking until, and the operative term is until I get.
Perfect. Enough said. Thanks, Brad. That's pretty clear.
You mean we're through?
Yeah.
Why didn't we have this at the start of our conversation?
Well, there was some other...
I go right back to the guy who said he was so thankful I'm connected with you because you have a way of digging truth out of me. Otherwise, I would just be nothing but a snake oil peddler. So thanks for the call, my friend.
My pleasure. I'll talk to you soon. Bye.